Good evening, all ACC and UVA sports fans. Welcome to another edition of Who's Talking. Good to be back here in
especially good for you,
the city of Richmond.
Weren't sure you were going to make it.
I did. I returned home from behind enemy lines and
down there in the great state of North Carolina.
Survived
the washed out
Hurricane Matthew was a you know what
the washed out eastern portion of North Carolina, and we do certainly have sympathy and prayer for those people down there who are really struggling. And as you indicated, some of the high water has not yet arrived at those places as the rivers continue to crest.
It's going to be crazy for the next couple of days down there. And we got to send out our best wishes to everyone down in Tidewater, Norfolk, Newport News, and all that, because they were hit very hard.
A lot of rain down there,
and believe
too.
It or not, Suffolk received the most rainfall down in that part of the state, which isn't that part of the state really isn't geared for this type of thing. All those small roads got washed out or ruined or closed or whatever. But
well, you can tell Virginia didn't play this weekend. We've turned into the Weather Channel here.
I feel like Jim Cantore. I do. I watched enough of Jim Cantore. I almost want to get one of those blue windbreakers and go out there.
I think that would be a good job for you to go out during those hurricanes and stand out in the 70-mile-an-hour wind with the rain just pelting in there. I can see Frank doing that. How about you, Darren? You got that one?
Absolutely. As
Hobo stands in the studio, I'm standing in the middle of a hurricane. All right.
Anyway,
back to reality.
Who's
here
on the show tonight?
We have a huge show.
That's right.
Epic show. We've got former UVA quarterback Bobby Goodman. He's to wear jersey number 4, and I tell you what, he's an excellent running quarterback, and could really sling the rock too. He used to always say that Coach Welsh wouldn't let him throw it but 15 times. He said, "Bobby, make the most of your 15 throws." So. He wanted to throw more, but Coach wanted him to hand off the ball to Terry Kirby, and can you really blame him? But to follow up Bobby, we've got none other than UVA head basketball coach Tony Bennett tonight to help us break down the upcoming basketball season and Virginia's preseason top 10 again. So,
yeah, I saw an ESPN thing this week that had them ranked as high as 5th. So,
wow.
Yeah, they're they have a lot of players, and the key is we have a great coach, and the program is doing very, very well. So look forward to having Coach Bennett on, and we expect to have him call in at about 6:33 tonight.
In addition, we have Dr. Vince Dalton. He'll handle the Ortho Virginia injury report, and there is some news on that front that we have garnered through our Twitter research team.
Yeah, the news there is Vince may be replacing Hobo's second hip before too long. So,
yeah, maybe sooner than later. Hobo could barely get down the hallway here.
All right.
Huge game for the Cavaliers this week. They're going to play the Pitt Panthers in Scott Stadium this Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. And let me tell you something. Bronco Mendenhall finds a way with this team this year in these circumstances to get this W at this time to make the Hoos 3-3 and 2-0 in the ACC. And you'd have to just tip your hat to him and say, holy moly. I mean, George Welsh would be impressed.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I've never have been a coach, but I think most coaches say that their objective is to have their teams improve during the course of the year. And there's no question the Hoos are improving from game to game, and hopefully that improvement will continue on Saturday at 12:30.
Well, let's talk about some of the games that are coming up real quick before we bring Bobby Goodman on. We see that this coming Friday, which is a weird night to play football in the ACC, if you ask me. Duke is at Louisville. The Cards are number 7 in the nation, and they're only favored by 28.
Yeah, I say
not much. I feel bad for the Blue Devils. That's going to be a tough road.
Looks like the last time they played it was 40-3. It may be that again, but maybe not quite that bad.
The NC State Wolfpack, fresh off their upset of the Golden Domers, travel down to Death Valley to play the Clemson Tigers at high noon on Saturday. That's, unfortunately, the Tigers are favored by 16.5. Georgia Southern is at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and the Jackets are 6.5-point favorites. As everyone knows, Pitt travels to Charlottesville to play the Wahoos. And the Wahoos are now only a 3-point underdog. And, you know, I think all of a sudden Mendenhall's rhetoric and calmness and coaching and the team's improve play is having an impact at the betting windows, because the line started at 5.5, according to my fearless research analyst to my immediate right, Darren. It started at 5.5, but now it's down to 3.
We're starting to earn a little respect out there.
A little bit of respect.
Getting a little love from the bookies.
All right, we're going to come back to that Pitt-Virginia game shortly. North Carolina is at Miami.
In a big game. I mean, that's an elimination game in many ways as far as the division is concerned.
It's possible. The Hurricanes are smarting after blowing the lead against Florida State. I believe that score was 20-19 maybe. Miami is favored by 6.5 this coming Saturday. That's a 3:30 kickoff. Wake Forest is at Florida State. The Noles are 25.5-point favorites, and that number may go up as the week goes on. The Hokies have now climbed to number 17 in the polls, and we've got to tip your hat to those guys. They are playing well. And they're playing at Syracuse in the Dome, the Carrier Dome. And
an old Big East clash.
Yeah, that's
back in the day.
That's a strange game. Bring back Donovan McNabb, right?
Yeah.
The Cuse is favored by, is getting 17 points.
At least playing in the Carrier Dome, the Hokies don't need to take the rain gear this week. You know,
that's
it'll
probably
be a nice
true.
Dry field.
Stanford is at Notre Dame. That's a 7:30 game, and actually, who cares? All right, moving on. Let's tease our friend Bobby Goodman. Where are my notes? Notes, where are they? It's good to have notes somewhere. All right,
so that stack of things.
Here it is. I've got too much information here. You know, Bobby played, I believe, from 89 to 92 for the Wahoos. May have been redshirted in 88. He played high school football in Suffolk, Virginia at J.F. Kennedy High School. Then he obviously was coached by George Welsh. He followed Sean Moore and Matt Blunden, and that was a lot for anybody to—
Big shoes, as they say.
And they were big shoes. Matt Blunden wore size 15s, I think. Blunden set the Virginia record for most passes without an interception, like 231 consecutive passes where he didn't throw an interception.
Yeah, one ball got tipped and he ran out and knocked a linebacker over himself to make sure he didn't have his record broken.
I tell you what, I saw him have a great— Blunden had a great game against none other than NC State, I believe, and that was at Scott Stadium, and that was an amazing game. And I remember thinking, man, I don't think Bobby Goodman's going to get back in. I mean, he got to play a couple games that year because Blunden had an elbow infection that was kind of mysterious.
Well, those guys, you think about Terry Kirby and Matt Blunden that played both football and basketball.
Oh, yeah. Slade could have played basketball.
They're impressive athletes that are able to do that.
Let's see here. Got to give tip our hat to Bobby. Bobby did very well. He led the Wahoos to victories over Georgia Tech, Navy a couple of times, Maryland, Virginia Tech, Duke, Wake, and William & Mary. He had some awesome teammates, Tyrone Davis at split end and Terry Kirby at tailback. Those are some weapons, wouldn't you say? They both played pro football.
Yeah,
those are the kind of recruiting days we need to return to.
That's right. Come on, Bronco.
Well, let's get some studs.
And he didn't have to throw very much.
Yeah, but he probably should have thrown a little bit more. Probably best known for his tough luck losses to Clemson. At home, he lost 28-29 in a nail biter. Florida State, he got out-dueled by Charlie Ward. He only lost 13-3, but that game felt nip and tuck the whole way. For you real serious football fans, you may recall Charlie Ward took a lot of snaps in the shotgun, and he got down to the Virginia goal line, and he took a snap, and the ball bounced off his hands, hit the turf, and as the Virginia rush was coming on him, he caught the ball cleanly, stood up, and threw a pass to the end zone. The guy out-jumped air player who was in perfect position, and that was the difference in the game.
Wow.
It was a freak play. And then, of course, there was the strange game at NC State where Virginia out-gained and out-positioned the Wolfpack all game but still lost 7-31, which, talk about a misleading final score. Anyhow,
must have been some turnovers in that game.
Strange. Virginia drove up and down the field, but Bobby has appeared on Who's Talking before, and we're having a hard time reaching him. So we're going to move on and wish him well. He must have gotten tied up at his day job. Looking at the Coastal right now, Virginia Tech is 2-0. UVA is 1-0. Carolina is 2-1. Miami is 1-1. Pitt is 1-1. Georgia Tech is 1-3. Duke is 0-2. So Virginia is in the crazy position, despite the early losses, of if you just take care of conference games.
I think that game in Blacksburg is starting to have big implications here.
Could be everything. Could be everything. All right.
We laugh about that, but one of these days, it's going to happen.
Stranger things.
I have every confidence that Bronco is going to put us in those kind of meaningful games. As the phone lights up, this may be Bobby right here. But at any rate, you're right. Only two teams in the Coastal Division that do not have a blemish on the conference record are Virginia Tech and Virginia.
Crazy, but certainly big games this weekend. The Wahoos need to hold serve, as they say, and win the big game. All right, we're going to pivot. It seems like this is one of those nights. It's the joys of live radio. We've got Coach Bennett apparently wants to come on now.
He's eager. A chance to be on Who's Talking. This National Coach of the Year crap, I mean, you know, that's nothing compared to being on HT.
On Who's Talking. All right, come on. What are you doing?
All right, we're going
to,
you know.
All right, Aaron Janier is trying to have a conversation with the coach.
All right, Coach, I think, do we have you on the air?
Yes.
Ah, terrific.
There we go.
All right, well, we thank you for joining us tonight. I assume maybe practice is over since you're calling us at this hour.
Correct. We just finished up, and, I thought this would be a perfect time. So are we on the air? Are we live? Or is this
That's
we,
right.
We are live.
Yeah,
we're live on Who's Talking.
Yeah, make be guarded about what you say. We don't want a Donald Trump moment here, you know, so that
– No, I'm good. I just want to make sure. So, all right, I'll put my best foot forward here.
Absolutely. But anyway, talk to us a little bit. Given the Spain trip, I was wondering, does that change your objectives for the October preseason practice time at all?
You know, it not so much. We try. What it changed for us was really the early preseason, the fall. I would say September. The end of August and September, that month probably changed in terms of how we approached that. But once the official practices start, where you can go for, 20 hours a week you get 30 practices in like 40 days roughly before your first game, that's about the same. We kind of went backwards and gave them a little more time in the early start of the school year, and our work was different from that standpoint.
And if you could list, what are your objectives in October? I wrote down some things like conditioning, execution, strategy, improved skills. What are some of the things you're trying to accomplish before the first game?
All of the above, like you just said, it's really those things. I think, you try to take some of the things you saw from the Spain trip, though the competition wasn't real good, so you can't really read into, as far as the play, but you still saw some things. You're trying to figure out potential rotations, combinations, but there's a few things that no matter when you are in the season, you got to work at. You just got to keep building habits, whether it's the defensive rebounding, the ball handling, sureness, the shooting, and then again, getting guys familiar with what you do. We do some different things, trapping the post, offensive things, looking at your personnel. So it's just building it up, but you do have to like do things regularly that are important to your program and that you just kind of always, you can't ever leave, I guess. If you leave them, you're going to loosen up on them and they're not going to become kind of your bedrocks.
I was thinking about some of the questions that our listeners might be interested in. Austin Nichols, the redshirt transfer from Memphis, he obviously is eligible now. How would you compare his game to that of Anthony Gill?
I think Austin is longer. Austin has like a 7'4 wingspan. He's, 6'8", 6'9", very long. Very good left, very good right. More of a fluid. He's almost a mix of Mike Toby and Anthony Gill in terms of he's very fluid, very long, has a long jump hook left and right. Where Anthony was more, Anthony was real aggressive. He'd catch, turn, and face and attack the rim, and he'd draw a lot of fouls that way, very aggressive on the glass and all that. Where a little more probably finesse skill would be Austin. And then, you know, Austin can block some shots as well, where I think Anthony was probably a bit more explosive and rugged.
Yeah, I'm going to let Frank get in here in a moment. Just one quick question about the red shirt. You know, you've had Darius Thompson, Anthony Gill, Austin Nichols, guys that have come in and redshirted, had to
– Malcolm Brogdon, too.
Well, he did a medical redshirt. That's right.
Yeah,
but guys that could practice with you for a year before they play, does that help them learn the system more effectively?
It does. You know, Momedy did that last year, and it adds, obviously, skill development, strength and conditioning. But there still is a difference when you get into the season, and even when you're just from a practice standpoint. Now I'm kind of zeroing in more on you. We work with our red shirts, obviously, but there are a lot of times on the scout team we're telling them to be real aggressive. Don't worry about, you know, being, you know, forcing or making two mistakes. Just go. We want you to challenge yourself. Now, you know, we're looking at them. We still want to be aggressive, but they're probably held in higher account. And so that's a change. You know, there's just a little bit more pressure on them than the speed of the game. They're with the first group or the second group, and, you know, they're fighting for playing time. All that stuff does change. So you still have to get used to that and, of course, competition itself. But there's no question the benefit of it for a physical standpoint and, of course, learning your system some more. But it's different when it's competition, or, you know, you're on the first unit and you're all the coaches are looking at you and your players are expecting you to do the right things, and if you make mistakes, it stings a little more.
Coach, this is Frank. Welcome to Who's Talking.
Thanks, Frank.
You know, this seems like a whole new and different type of challenge for you and this Cavalier program. You're coming off an Elite Eight season. You've had almost 90 wins over the last 3 years. Yet at the same time, you're going to integrate six new, very talented players into your plans this year. I mean, I don't know how you're going to play all these guys, but, you know, what I wonder is, how do you manage expectations for this team? Because you're still ranked in the top 10 through most publications.
Yeah, you know my answer to that. Just because you're ranked there doesn't mean you're one of the 10 best teams. we're not anywhere near that right now. I can be real with you about that. We've got a long ways to go. We lost guys that have played who are, you know, battle tested. You know, guys who are in the NBA and doing well in the preseason. There's, like you said, six new guys. There's ability. Some of our guys that were more role players. You know, now they're upperclassmen, and there's opportunities for them to, you know, not step outside themselves, but to hopefully give us more and then integrate this team. My hope is this team will progress and improve as we practice, because if you watched our team the last 2 years at this stage, you know, and watch this team this year, it's not close. And that's okay, because it's just a different, you know, we need to keep developing, we need to keep building habits, but you just can't replace those kind of players and that kind of experience with brand new guys. Is the potential there? Is the future there? Yep. Are we going to have to gel and mold guys? Of course, and figure out things. But that will be the challenge to do that and, you know, to establish the things. And obviously we don't want to take a step back and we're going to go after everything we have. But it's just a new kind of challenge with a new group of guys. And obviously we still have London and that. But there'll be some, you know, unique challenges, and I think certainly some growing pains and exciting times in the process.
You know, Coach, there's an interesting parallel potentially with this team. A couple years after Ralph's teams, there was a team of guards, and Ricky Stokes, Rick Carlisle, Othell Wilson spring to mind. You've got a very veteran guard-heavy team this year, London Perantes, Devin Hall, Habo, help me.
Mario Shayok, Darius Thompson.
Sure, Darius Thompson.
And
right.
The new kids, the freshmen,
right. But I'm talking about the core veterans. So you've got the ball handlers and the outside shooters that are the veterans. Are you going to build an outside-in type of offense?
If you'd watched this practice today, I don't think you'd be commenting on our outside shooting. I think we had more air balls and chipped more paint from the rim. We struggled to shoot the ball. But, no, I think, you know, obviously London shot the ball well. You know, that the young guys shoot it. That's where, you know, I know Mariel and Darius and Devin have worked. You know, percentage-wise, we're probably not as strong of an outside shooting team, at least with the returners, with the exception of London. So that – you know, you like the experience, you like the know-how, and I think guys have, I just want them to improve those returners the way they have. And, you know, again, we'll have to integrate some of the new guys that can shoot the ball and see where we're at. But I think it's just going to be a balanced team. I don't know if there's, you know, we don't have a Malcolm Brogdon's just going to, we're going to get you 20 points a game. I think it's going to be more balanced. I think different guys will step up at different times. You know, as the season progresses, we'll see who emerges. I think it's a little early to say that right now, but you know, all good offenses and efficient offenses have the balanced scoring, but also some inside out action. But we did, one of the things we lost, and I hate to keep going back, but we lost 60% of our scoring, but 60% of our free throws too. You know, that's,
yes.
Malcolm and Anthony really could get to the line. So those are things we've got to see. All right, how are we gonna, what kind of shots we're gonna get? How are we gonna draw fouls? How are we gonna be aggressive? And what kind of shooting do we have?
Yeah, I used to always say it was a bad omen when you had to replace the rims more frequently than the nets. But
that's awesome.
But
right? Well, this first week we're probably replacing the rims more frequently, but that's going to change.
Absolutely, I have no doubt about that. But you know, a lot of times guys from season to season show significant improvement. Is there yep. one or two players that you would single out who have really shown a lot of improvement sure. from last season to this?
Yeah, I think Jared Reuter has had a nice he had a nice Spain tour, and he looks like he's improved. I think every player, and I mean this sincerely, has taken a step and improved in their game. And I think you see the bigger jumps with the guy a first year to second year. Jack Salt was looking good. He pulled or strained a hamstring, so he has not practiced yet. I think he's getting close to practicing. So, but he looks like he's definitely improved his body, and he's so rugged. And then, but Jared for sure. And then, you know, Darius has had a good summer. I mean, Mariel and Devin obviously have gotten more experience and played, and I think they've gotten better. So all of them had, but Darius had a real good Spain, and Jared, those were the two maybe who had the best Spains and maybe falls of the guys, but not to downplay anybody else, it's just guys that maybe have done a nice job.
You know, Coach, it was reported that that Hunter, of all the newcomers, got the most minutes in Spain. What was the reason for that?
No, I don't know. We actually, I'm all these guys love me right now because we pretty much played. Well, I sat out London and Isaiah two of the five games, and we played guys. They just would play 5 minutes, basically 20 minutes a game. We do like a hockey sub: five guys in, five guys out, five guys in. Maybe I got to do that this year because it's hard to decipher. But everybody played about 20 minutes. I think one guy had to play. DeAndre might have been the only guy who didn't sit one game. Everybody else did just because of just the numbers-wise. But no, everybody was very equal.
Coach, you really do have a lot of talent this year and a lot of guys that can play. Might that change the rotation at all? You know, I can't remember. I think in the past you usually have gone 8 or 9 deep in most games. Will that likely continue?
Yeah, I think most programs, it's hard to play more than 9 guys. Now, it could be different 9, but maybe you could stretch it to 10 or foul trouble, but you know, you got 5 guys on the perimeter and 4 on the, you know, the forwards. And again, if there's foul trouble or teams are playing 4 guards, maybe you can get out there, but there's certainly going to be a battle there. And you know, the one thing I told our young guys is if you will stay patient and work and develop, I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's some good things on the horizon for you, whether it's this year, next year, but that's going to be the test for everybody. But I think there's got to be, you know, realistic expectations for the young guys. There's going to be a process, but if they keep working, they're going to be, you know, in time, I think they'll be a nice group for sure.
You know, every team develops their own chemistry. I know it's early. Do you feel pretty good about this year's chemistry?
You know, that's hard to say. We have very good young men and they're hard workers. I think, that's the stuff that evolves. I think that's what was so strong with all that experience we had. They just were so unified how they played. They understood each other. They were comfortable with the system and the situation. So that's got to be built through experiences, and that's why Spain was important, and these early practices really matter. So, but we have unselfish players. We got guys, you know, obviously who are still learning, but I think it'll be a very cohesive group. But I think, you know, that's not really found out until you're in the battles.
Coach, I see on the website, the Meet the Team blue-white scrimmage is October 23rd. That seems like it'll be here almost any minute now. That's a 3 o'clock event. And then, believe it or not, your first game is on the road, an away game against UNC Greensboro on November the 11th. So, essentially, you've got a month before your first game.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's definitely the season's coming, and it's an exciting time. And I think people are going to enjoy watching this group grow over time. You know, it was such a joy to watch the Mike Tobies, Evan Nolte's, and then obviously Anthony and Malcolm grow up. Well, we've got another group that's going to grow, and I think it's a new phase, a new challenge with certainly some quality players, but there's nothing like game experience. We got some scrimmages before that, kind of closed door scrimmages, so that will be very good for our guys to be in that setting as well.
Yeah, it makes a difference when you turn the lights on and put the people in the house. You know, some some guys rise to the occasion, some don't. But at any rate, well, listen, Coach, we appreciate your time. We appreciate all you've done for Virginia basketball, and look forward to having you back on as the season unfolds.
My pleasure, and thanks for letting me come on a little early, okay?
Absolutely. Basketball coach Tony Bennett, we're way long for our first break, so we will take it now. You're listening to Who's Talking. Stay tuned.